from DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
When I'm doing the show as much as I can, I like to follow along with the comments in the comment section while the show is taking place. This is a little bit easier to do in the afternoons in SEC Country Live, just because I'm not the only one who's doing the talking. Sometimes on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, I can get a little too distracted sometimes if I look at the comment section during the show. And for those of you who've never watched on video, there is that sort of follow along, chat along with the conversation feature that the live video enables you to have. The people who listen to the show usually sort of just weigh in on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily once it's all said and done. But one of the unique things about watching the comments during the show is that there are a couple threads of conversation that take place virtually every day here on our program, whether I bring them up or not. You know, I sort of talk about the news of the day, whatever that might be, but some of you sort of have consistent topics that you go back to over and over again, which is just the nature of a big fan base like Dog Nation and a big team like Georgia that generates a lot of interest. And I think it's very safe to say that the comment section topic that's sort of the hottest and has been ever since he signed at UGA is the quarterback situation. Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. And I've been pretty clear for the moment that I think that Jake Fromm is a very good starter for UGA, and Justin Fields is a thrilling, exciting, very good number two quarterback who himself is probably going to go on to a great career at UGA. And so for a moment, we'll kind of put that aside. For now, we'll just sort of focus in on that Justin Fields is a figure associated with Georgia here in this 2018 season that generates a ton of interest from fans. So much so that a lot of folks within the national media have kind of noticed this as well. I remember having Mitch Light from Athlon Sports, who is the editor-in-chief, I guess the managing editor of the Athlon Sports College Football Preview. And I talked to him about the interest and attention they paid to Justin Fields in their preseason magazines. And his simple response back here was, well, when Georgia fans are talking so much about Justin Fields, he said, we think it's our duty with our national magazine to sort of present that topic to the country as well. For the people who don't know nearly as much about the Dogs as UGA fans do, here is what Dog fans are talking about. Here's what matters to Dog Nation, and of course, it is Justin Fields. And with that level of hysteria, with that level of attention, with that level of just sort of general interest, I wasn't really prepared to have to say what I'm about to say on the show here today, but I got to tell you, even though Justin Fields is the subject of a lot of conversation, I guess there is at least one pocket of the country, at least one line of thought where maybe Justin Fields, as the number two quarterback of Georgia, is still maybe a bit underrated. Let me explain kind of where I get to from on this, and then we'll talk a little bit more about Fields. Barton Simmons is a writer for, I guess, 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports, a guy that I like. I don't necessarily agree with his take here, though. He has ranked the top 25 quarterback rooms, quarterback situations for all of college football, not just the SEC. College football around the country, several SEC teams, though, do feature prominently in this. And he has Georgia coming in at number 5 on his list. Here is Barton Simmons from CBS Sports explaining Georgia 5th in the country when it comes to the overall quarterback situation. He writes, Georgia has the best two-man depth chart in college football, but behind Justin Fields is an abyss of walk-ons. The good news is that Fields and Fromm will probably be around beyond 2018, but Kirby Smart has got to find some depth quickly, and if you're listening instead of watching, I will point out in the quote there from Barton Simmons that probably in terms of Fields and Fromm long-term situation at Georgia, that's in parentheses to suggest, hey, maybe one of these guys will move on, but that's also probably a conversation to have for a different day. So overall, Barton Simmons, CBS Sports, says number 5 in the country is the Georgia quarterback situation. And if you're a Georgia fan and that's all you were to know, that seems like a compliment, right? Among the best in the entire country. And while I'm not offended by Simmons' opinion here, I guess I do take somewhat umbrage with the fact that ahead of Georgia on his list, he's got Alabama. In fact, he's got Alabama and their collection of quarterbacks at number 2 on the list. And this is really where we kind of get to the point of me sort of seeing Justin Fields as maybe being slightly underrated. Let me read you again Barton Simmons, CBS Sports, on Alabama, and we'll use this to sort of explain why he thinks the Bama situation is better than UGA's. Barton once again writes, when Tua Tagovailoa wins the starting job, he'll emerge as one of college football's best quarterback talents, and he's around for at least one more season. This also makes Jalen Hurts the most accomplished, which is an important word there, accomplished backup in college football. Even if Hurts transfers after the season, Mac Jones will give Alabama solid depth in 2019 and beyond. So, too, will Tua's little brother, Talia, a 2019 quarterback commit. Once again, that's Barton Simmons from CBS Sports. Now, if the word you want to use to describe Jalen Hurts is accomplished, I can't dispute that. He has been a starter for virtually two full years until the national championship game. He was Alabama's starting quarterback. He's been SEC Player of the Year. He's been in the college football playoff. He is truly accomplished. But if you take away the word accomplished and just say better or preferable, which backup quarterback would you rather have? Would you rather have Jalen Hurts? Would you rather have Justin Fields? I'm going to tell you right now, if I was the quote-unquote general manager of Georgia football, the way we kind of think about that term in professional sports, where you make trades and you build your roster, I'm not trading Justin Fields for Jalen Hurts. And the other name that you hear mentioned there is Mac Jones, a one-time Kentucky commit before he flipped to Alabama. I believe he's from the Bowl School in Jacksonville. Am I right about that? He was a four-star prospect in his own right coming out of high school. You want to make it a package deal. The two quarterbacks at Alabama right now, Mac Jones and Jalen Hurts behind the presumptive starter Tua Tagovailoa. I'm not making that trade for Justin Fields either. Now, we occasionally from time to time have non-Georgia fans that check in here on Dog Nation Daily, and they may say, well, of course, you're a UGA homer. You're Dog Nation Daily. What else would we expect you to say on that? But I think if you kind of look at the evidence that's sort of been compiled here, albeit not on the field, I will grant you that Justin Fields hasn't played a real game yet. But in the time that we've seen him grow as a prospect and see him become a UGA commit and then eventually a UGA signee, we see some evidence that suggests that the hype is at least somewhat warranted here. There may be some there when it comes to Justin Fields. Let's go back to December when Justin Fields signed with Georgia, when Kirby Smart was first allowed to sort of speak on the record officially about Justin Fields for the first time. Kirby Smart talked about seeing what we all saw from Fields at Harrison High School, that level of athleticism that just sort of really brought the wow factor virtually every single time. And when Kirby Smart thinks about that, there was one word that jumped to mind promptly over everything else. Here is Kirby.
Exciting. I mean, I think everybody knows what he's been able to do. You know, I've seen a lot of quarterbacks in my time. I thought the best evaluation of quarterbacks is when they go out to the Elite 11, they go to the opening, and I know it's T-shirt and shorts, but you're around some real alpha dogs when you're out there. And he was one of the alpha dogs of the alpha dogs. He took over the opening. He won a lot of games. He made throws. And he did it all while keeping a calm, cool presence that is kind of unmatched. He's never real high. He's never real low. He's really exciting. He can win the game with his feet, but he can win the game with his arm. And he's not afraid of competition. I mean, he's been very adamant that he wants to come in here and compete. He knows we're going to give him an opportunity to do that.
I don't know if you are like me, but when Kirby Smart kind of goes on and on there about talking about the excitement level of Justin Fields and his athleticism, I can't help but think about Kirby Smart popcorn.gif, where he's like popping the popcorn in his mouth while he's standing there on the sidelines at Harrison High School. It kind of reminds me of Kirby being a spectator there that day in that game that was on ESPN2 back during the season, because it does speak to the excitement level that Justin Fields brings to the table. But the other word that Kirby Smart uses there is the notion of competition. Now, I do believe that Justin Fields is capable of making what's happening in Georgia more of a competition than what, with all due respect, Jalen Hurts or Mac Jones is capable of making the situation in Alabama. I think that's a contrived competition. I think one of the reasons why Nick Saban's having trouble with his quarterbacks right now, being a little too public, their families being a little too public about who's going to be the starter. I think part of the problem there is Nick Saban's manufactured a competition where one doesn't actually exist. But I think that Fromm is good enough, and I think that Fields is potentially good enough, that Georgia does have a real, live, authentic competition taking place. And for what it's worth, apparently Jake Fromm thinks that too.
You know, about Justin to come out and compete. You know, everybody in that quarterback room is competing and working really hard. And at the end of the day, you know, we're making the team a lot better. And any way we can help the team as a room and as a unit, we're going to do it.
But here's the thing, though. When you talk about competing and Justin Fields coming in and sort of his college career here and maybe being the kind of quarterback that gives Georgia quarterback situation better than other programs, it's got to be more than just the excitement factor. It's got to be more than just the athleticism. It's got to be more than just the big arm strength. It's got to be the other things, sometimes intangible, sometimes cerebral, that quarterbacks are asked to do. And one of the reasons why I've been impressed with Justin Fields since he's arrived at Georgia is the fact that he seems to be fully embracing that. In fact, if you want to go back to January thereabouts when he enrolled at Georgia when he was becoming a UGA student and a official Georgia football player. He was already reaching out to other quarterbacks, Jake Fromm included, to sort of find out, how do you digest all this stuff that SEC quarterbacks are supposed to know? When you hear Fields in his own words, it is another reason to like him as a prospect.
It's definitely hectic, of course, but I talked to Jake and a few of the other offensive guys, and they said it's not that hard once you get it down. So I'm just studying it every day and just trying to get it down and be ready by springtime.
And that stuff there, that not idea of I'm going to study it every day and I'm going to be ready by springtime. To me, those words from Justin Fields matters there, because the sort of non-UGA fan would bring up a fair point. The non-UGA fan, just in the subject of conversation, this happens on SEC Country Live, would bring up the point of, you can't really know how good Justin Fields is going to eventually be because you haven't seen him play. And that's true. That's absolutely true. But you can make an assumption. And the assumptions that I make are not just sort of pulled out of thin air. My assumptions are based on the things that Kirby Smart has said, because Kirby Smart has had every opportunity to sort of talk down the hype when it comes to Justin Fields. He's had every opportunity to say, y'all hold on now. Y'all putting too much on this kid too soon. But in fact, oftentimes Kirby Smart does the opposite of that. Oftentimes Kirby Smart sort of praises the big things and the little things. Let me take you back to after the G-Day game. Looking back on the full spring from Justin Fields, his first time in a UGA uniform, Justin Fields said at the outset of his enrollment at UGA that he was ready to digest the playbook. And basically, Kirby Smart, once spring was over, says mission accomplished. He apparently learned enough to impress Kirby along the way. Here's an example from Kirby Smart.
He's gotten better. He's more comfortable with the offense. But I'll be honest, I never felt like he was like behind with the offense from day one. He's done such a good job coming in and learning. It's not like it's been a growth process. He's gotten more confident. He's able to move around in the pocket and create some things when things break down.
So listen, the bottom line for me is, you know, you want to compare the Alabama situation to the Georgia situation. Take Tua and Fromm out of this for a moment. We've talked about them plenty. We'll talk about them plenty more. You give me the choice of the two backups at Alabama or Justin Fields at Georgia, I feel just fine at UGA saying Justin Fields is going to be my guy in that respect. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented by Marco's Pizza, and we're glad you're with us on video, 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, Dog Nation YouTube, Dog Nation Twitter feed. We love being with you live on video each and every day. We also enjoy being with our friends on the radio in Athens, in the Classic City. Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We air there at noon each and every day. And we love being on the radio with our friends in Athens. And, of course, in podcast form, Apple Podcasts. Somebody was telling me on Twitter that I don't say it right. I say Android devices. I'm never quite sure how people access this show on Android, but for the most part, you all seem to find it. He said I should just say Google Podcasts. So apparently on Google Podcasts, you're having an easy time of finding the show, which is always good news for me. I also post the show at the worldfamousdognation.com. Many of you just listen right there, which is great. SoundCloud. And as we say, we try to make the podcast as easy for you to find as you possibly can. We're glad you have found it. And of course, as I also remind you from time to time, all of this would not be possible without our friends at Marco's Pizza, who present Dog Nation Daily to you each and every day. And Marco's Pizza, in doing so, just simply wants you to know that you can say hello to everyday value at Marco's. How about this great offer? Two medium, two topping pizzas for just $6.99 each. But these aren't just any pizzas. These are pizzas made the Italian way. It's every store, every day. Participating locations, you can check out Marco's.com for that. I love the value. I love the taste. Really, I just love everything about Marco's Pizza, and I am so proud to have them attached here to Dog Nation Daily. On a Wednesday, normally that means Mike Johnson from SEC Country Live. We'll catch up with him in a couple of minutes. Before we get to that, though, let me squeeze in something that I do think is important. And, you know, sometimes things kind of happen on Dog Nation Daily pretty fast. You can sort of, they sort of fly by, and you say, well, what did so-and-so just say there? And from time to time, I feel the need to sort of press the pause button and kind of go back on some of this stuff a bit. And I think one of the big questions that some Georgia fans have been asking, in fact, people have asked me this directly, you know, Georgia does not get C.J. Clark this week. Egbuigbe, the defensive lineman from Forest Park who chose Alabama, for what it's worth, Georgia doesn't get him either. So we know that Trayvon Walker is probably Georgia's number one defensive line priority for 2019. But who are the other guys that you'd sort of describe in that sort of can't-miss category right now or very important for Georgia to get? Well, in the wake of Georgia missing out on C.J. Clark this week, I thought Jeff Sintel did a pretty good job yesterday of laying out who the three true priorities for the Georgia defensive line right now might be. Here is Jeff Sintel on that subject.
Defensive line recruiting, everybody knows the names. I think they should maybe spam the panic buttons if things happen where guys like Trevon Walker, Derek Rambo, Hunter, guys like that start maybe leaning or start pointing towards another program. Another name to think about there is Quashawn Fuller. He's a guy that continues to say very nice things about Georgia. He took two recent visits to Georgia. He told me recently that although he is committed to Florida State, he still has Georgia among his top five schools, and all five schools there are basically neck and neck right now when it comes to his recruitment.
The interesting thing about Fuller is he's obviously big enough that he could consider being more than just a strong side defensive end, which is what he's listed on the 24/7 composite, that he might actually have a chance to maybe even slide inside and play some defensive tackle for UGA. Jeff's written about that at DogNation.com, and apparently the fact that he's a Florida State commit's not scaring anybody off of him right now. Derek Rambo, Hunter, much the same way. This is a big defensive end. He's gotten some interest from some other programs, Florida included, but it sounds like he really still likes Georgia a lot, which is obviously also to bring us back to Trevon Walker, the in-state prospect, who I think for any Georgia fan that follows recruiting in any level whatsoever, he is probably thought to be one of the number one or number two most important players on the board for UGA. So good stuff from Jeff Sintel on the program yesterday. Of course, Jeff will be back with us later on in the week, too. For now, though, here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, it is a Wednesday. I love talking to him each week. It is my buddy Mike Johnson from SEC Country Live. Let's talk to him right now. And I'll say hello to Mike Johnson, SEC Country Live, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, every Monday through Friday, on the Dog Nation Facebook page. SEC Country video channels, SEC Country Facebook, YouTube, everything in between. Mike, good morning. Thanks for being on the program today. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. It's good to be back on here. It's been a couple of weeks since I've talked to you guys.
Yeah, we had the little phone glitch last week. You were good enough to give us a free pass on that and come back and be with us, and so we certainly appreciate that and appreciate you being here today. And at the risk of sort of stirring up trouble again, you know, you and I kind of got into this on SEC Country Live yesterday afternoon. I did talk off the top of the show a bit today about, you know, the comparison of quarterbacks by our buddy Barton Simmons from over at CBS Sports. Barton is a guy that I like. I think he's really smart. Just because you like a guy doesn't mean you have to agree with everything that he says, though. And you know that I disagree with Barton on ranking the Georgia quarterback situation below Alabama's. And what I've said here before is that, you know, you can put Tua and Fromm aside for a moment. That may just be a matter of preference and taste in terms of which of those two quarterbacks you like better. I think there's an argument for Fromm given the fact that he's played more, but that's sort of a matter of preference and taste, and you can sort of put that aside. But if you want to bring it down to the backup situation here, and in professional sports, you know, the notion of prospects for proven players, those kind of trades happen all the time. I told you yesterday I'm not trading Justin Fields, even for Mac Jones and Jalen Hurts. I feel good enough about what Georgia has with Fields, the sort of rare prospect that doesn't come around very often. I may be proven wrong, but for now, I'd keep it where I got it when it comes to a Justin Fields, and I guess I'm curious what your response is.
No, I understand what you're saying, and you and I kind of came to terms on this subject yesterday, because I understand what you're saying in terms of the fact that Justin Fields, the sky's the limit, right? This guy's going to be a good player. He's going to be a good quarterback. He's got all the tools that you could possibly want. I mean, if this were baseball, we're talking about a five-tool player in Justin Fields, so I understand it. My angle was coming at you in the reverse, saying, hey, listen, you know, Jalen Hurts, for all the deficiencies he has, I still know what I'm getting. I'm getting a guy who's going to protect the football. I'm getting a guy who's 26-2 as a starter. And the conversation flips, right? When you talk about Tua and you talk about Jake Fromm, I'm not trading Tua Tagovailoa for Jake Fromm right now. And I understand why you probably wouldn't make that trade. You have to understand why I wouldn't make the trade. You've seen Jake Fromm, right? You've seen him on the field. You've seen what it's possible that he can do. And I feel like the sky's the limit for Tua Tagovailoa. So there's a couple of different ways to look at it. The bottom line is I don't think Georgia or Alabama, either one, are hurting for quarterbacks at this point. That's the good news for both sides of this thing. But there's a couple of different ways of looking at it. And I think it's going to be interesting to see those things kind of turn out. I think that if Bama can keep Jalen Hurts on the roster, you know, he's one of the best backup quarterbacks in the SEC, if not the country. So it's going to be interesting to see it kind of turn out and see what Nick Saban's able to do with his roster over there. And really, I think a lot of people, I'm not just saying this from Alabama fans' perspective, I think a lot of people are interested to see what happens in that Georgia quarterback room. That's going to be quite the interesting news for the next couple of years, for sure.
And you're certainly consistent in your thought process here that for you, a little bit of experience matters over someone that doesn't have any, and that's, that's a reasonable point of view. That's a strong argument. I guess what I'd say in response to that, and I'm honestly curious what you're thinking here. I'm not just trying to set you up to hear what I want to hear. The fact that Kirby Smart, and I talked about this a moment ago, the fact that he has had opportunities to sort of talk people off the ledge about Justin Fields. You know, Kirby loves pushing back at media narrative. Sometimes he even pretends to disagree with things that I think he sort of actually privately agrees with, just because he doesn't like going along with media narrative sometimes. I may be being unfair to him by describing it that way, but it seems like there's some evidence of that. But in the case of Justin Fields, it seems like he sort of walked in line with the narrative more often than not. He has, you know, praised Fields' understanding of the playbook, praised Fields' ability to come into a spring practice and be prepared, praised his poise, praised his demeanor. Those are the kinds of things that you could sort of withhold if you were looking to kind of quiet the expectations for Fields, but Kirby Smart's chosen not to do that. To me, reading between the lines, that sort of matters. How would you sort of respond to that?
Now, I agree with you, and I think this is one of the things, like you said, it doesn't have to be, you know, an opposite. It's not like Kirby has to come out and say, well, he stinks. He could have easily just withheld some information and just, you know, kind of said, well, you know, it is what it is, and he's learning by the day. And, you know, similar to what Florida's done with Emory Jones. It's, hey, listen, he's trying to get his rest. He's building up to something. You know, he's fighting for repetitions in practice. He's trying to understand what college football is all about. Kirby Smart, in my opinion, has gone out of his way to, you know, kind of do the opposite and say, hey, listen, this guy's going to be good. This guy's really an incredible player. We're really excited about him. I don't really know Kirby's angle. I'm with you. I think there's something behind it to be said. I think there's some lines to kind of read between in terms of what Kirby's saying. I don't know if this comes from a recruiting tactic. I don't know if this comes from a trying to make sure Jake Fromm's doing everything possible kind of tactic. But I do feel like that Kirby has gone out of his way to make sure he praises Justin Fields and everything that's going on down there in that quarterback room. So, you know, like I said, you can read between the lines all you want to, and you can try to figure out why he's doing it. I think there's a couple of different angles, but, you know, Kirby definitely has put himself out there in terms of the way he feels about what Justin Fields is going to be able to do.
One more point on this, and then I promise we'll change the subject, but you used an interesting phrase there. You talked about recruiting tactic, and I do think that there are recruits, including some UGA commits like Jaden Hazelwood, maybe Dominic Blaylock, although Blaylock's certainly a lot more rock solid seemingly to Georgia right now. I do think there are recruits who are curious to see how Justin Fields does get used this season. I think that Fields is a bit of a Pied Piper. He's got a lot of coattails. A lot of people are at Georgia now because of Fields. A lot of 2019 commits are committed to UGA or strong leans to UGA because of what they think and what they like about Justin Fields. From that standpoint, Mike, I do think there is, I don't want to say pressure, that may be the wrong word, I think there's motivation to play Justin Fields more than maybe your typical five-star backup, just given the fact that a lot of recruits are potentially using Fields as a reason why they make their decision.
Well, I agree with you, but you have to be careful too, B.A. You have to be careful that you're not sticking a guy in there in a situation he's not ready for.
Very
fair. All of a sudden, Justin Fields goes in against Florida and throws five interceptions. You know, it won't happen, but if he did, if he went in and threw five interceptions against Florida, and then all of a sudden you're saying, hey, when is this guy going to be ready?
Yep.
Then I think that Kirby Smart's all of a sudden, you know, kind of opened up another can of worms with that. So I think that, listen, I think that Fields will play. I think he'll play meaningful snaps. I think that he will be, you know, good when he does get on the field. And, you know, that's something that Kirby Smart's going to have to, you know, kind of register the feel of the team. But I do think it's a double-edged sword where a lot of these people that are looking at it, you know, wide receivers, offensive linemen, saying, hey, it'd be nice to go play with Justin Fields for the next 3 or 4 years. You want to make sure when he gets in that spotlight that he's ready to perform the way you know he can.
Yeah, I think that you're right about that. Let me bring you into a conversation that you and I have actually had many times before, and we'll have it again here right now. It is pretty clear there is a Kirby doctrine when it comes to offensive line philosophy, and Sam Pittman, the offensive line coach, is the lieutenant who makes all this go. They want not just big offensive linemen. Mike, the best I can tell, they want giants. I mean, they want, like, the biggest humans imaginable playing on this Georgia offensive line, so much so that sometimes they value bigger even in comparison to a smaller guy who may be more highly rated as a prospect. An example of that is a highly rated prospect in his own regards, Xavier Truss, but not the highest rated offensive lineman in America. He's a 4-star prospect, but he's 6'7.5". He's 350 pounds. He commits to Georgia this week. I mean, what do you think of that philosophy of, when all things being equal, let's just go out and find the tallest, biggest guy we can who can kind of get the job done here? That seems to have worked for Georgia a lot with its 2017 offensive line. Some of those big guys like Solomon Kinley and Andrew Thomas and Ben Cleveland were inserted there, and they were doing really well, and the size seemed to help them. I mean, how do you feel about this prioritization for Georgia on these extra-large offensive linemen?
Yeah, it tells me a couple things. First of all, it tells me what the philosophy will be probably moving forward under Kirby Smart. We've talked about, you know, Jeremy Pruitt's philosophy offensively, how, you know, he wants to have a strong run game, wants to be able to lean on teams, really, you know, they want to have, you know, make sure they can put salt the game away in the fourth quarter with some of these 10, 12, 15-play drives. That seemingly, in my opinion, is what Kirby Smart's kind of going after with some of these bigger guys. Hey, listen, let's lean on these defensive linemen. Let's make sure they're exhausted at the end of the game. It's not about the, you know, how many plays can we get? How many snaps can we get on offense? When it comes down to it in the fourth quarter and there's 15 minutes left, we're up by a touchdown, let's put 370 and lean on these defensive lines.
Yeah.
It also tells me that Kirby Smart, you know, trusts the development and strength coaches that he has inside that program that, hey, listen, this guy might be 370 right now. We're not worried about his weight getting out of line. We know that he's going to get the best strength training possible. We know he's going to be agile and flexible while he's at Georgia. And so it's a unique proposition. I will tell you this, B.A., just in terms of what I dealt with at Alabama. When Nick Saban started recruiting his own offensive linemen and some of us guys were left over from the Mike Shula era, I could not believe the size of some of these guys that were coming in. I honestly couldn't. I played left tackle in the Sugar Bowl in 2008. B.J. Fluker shows up as a freshman in 2009, and he weighs 80 pounds more than me. I couldn't believe. I was like, is this guy really going to play offensive line here? And they ended up, you know, 2-3 years later in 2011, 2012, having one of the most dominant lines in SEC history. So I know what Kirby Smart's doing. He's seen it with his own eyes. He trusts, you know, his instincts when it comes to a lot of those guys. And if they can move and if they're powerful and they can get it done, 370 is definitely the way to go, man. They're just hard to find. Kirby's done a good job of finding them.
There's a little bit of an intramural squabble that goes on between some Georgia fans right now about some of the recruiting stuff. And, you know, Georgia's obviously the reigning, I guess, number one team in the country for recruiting for 2018. But you know how college football fans are. There's a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately type mentality. And for Georgia fans, they see the one position group that right now we don't know how the 2019 cycle is going to end yet, but for right now, that defensive line recruiting is sort of lagging behind the other position groups, and I would even say by a significant margin in some cases, which I think for some Georgia fans is maybe making them want to sort of heap more pressure at the feet of Trey Scott, the defensive line coach, to really win some of these recruiting battles here this season. You're obviously a former player, but, you know, you kind of understand the nature of fans here. How fair is it for UGA fans to look at Trey Scott and say, okay, we need you to do what James Coley's done, and we need you to do what Del McGee has done and what Sam Pittman has done and Glenn Schumann has done. We need you to sort of put trophies in the wall the way they have. You know, fans obviously have pretty high standard. Alabama fans, Georgia fans, most of the big SEC fan bases can be included in that conversation. Do you think the reaction of Georgia fans to the relatively slow start when it comes to defensive line and maybe the lack of a high-profile name in the last couple of recruiting cycles, is that reaction fair in your mind?
I think it's tough. And there's so many different angles to look at it, too, B.A. It's, hey, what are the needs here? You know, what does this Georgia football team need? And I know that, you know, this is not going to be a full signing class from what I understand from Georgia. So, hey, let's pick our poison. You know, what are we able to go after? What are the guys that are in our backyard in terms of defensive linemen? You know, what did we have in last year's cycle? What are we going to try to get in this year's cycle? There's so many different ways of looking at it. And it's not just – you can't just put one position group on one position coach. There's so many other coaches that are on the road. There's so many other coaches that are going out scouting. I mean, when I was coming out of high school, Mickey Andrews showed up to kind of scout me on the offensive line, the old Florida State defensive coordinator. So – a lot of these guys have to get out. They have to find these guys. You have to find guys that you know you'll be able to recruit. And so I don't think it falls just at his feet. But I'll tell you this much, you know, on kind of the reverse of that, you know, kind of you know, looking at it from another angle, Kirby's recruiting at such a high level right now and has been for the last couple of years that there is going to start to be some pressure pile up on some people if you're not ready to kind of go that angle. We've mentioned it a bunch. You know, whether or not it's reactionary or what, going from Nick Saban it over at Alabama, he's reacted a ton. He's made some changes. Hey, listen, if you're not willing to do this or willing to do that, you need to go find another job. I wonder if at some point, I'm not saying it's the exact coach, but I wonder if at some point Kirby Smart's not poised to make some decisions like that in the near future.
That'll be interesting to watch out. Of course, like a lot of folks also think that maybe Trey Scott pulls it together and puts a big group of defensive linemen on the board here for this season. All right, speaking of recruiting here for a moment, we talked yesterday about five-star wide receiver Jaden Hazelwood. He told 24/7 Sports that his recruitment's not over with yet, despite the fact that he's a UGA commit. He's still taking visits. And on the one hand, Mike, you know, if you want to recruit the best possible players, you got to be willing to have them flirt a little bit for others with other schools. And yet Kirby Smart's also said in the past that hard commits help you go out and recruit other players, either for that particular recruiting cycle or for future years. I mean, as a former player yourself, how much do you think UGA is hurt by a commit who's at least not committed enough to stop taking visits other places?
Yeah, it's tough. And, you know, when you look at the landscape of college football, now this is something that wasn't this way when I signed, you know, a few years back in 2005. Yeah, this is something that's kind of relatively different. And I think you have to guard yourself if you're Kirby Smart. And obviously I went to Alabama, so I keep bringing up the Alabama thing. Nick Saban got burned. He got burned 3 or 4 times last year off guys that were committed to him. And obviously, you know, Georgia fans know of, you know, of one guy like that in Quay Walker that, you know, Bobby Brown was another one with Texas A&M. Hey, these guys need to shut off their recruiting at some point. Now, you're a five-star guy. You know, you're going to go out there. You're going to look around. You're going to see what's the best opportunity for you. But Kirby Smart, in my opinion, has to be guarded with guys like this one. You only have a certain amount of scholarships to give out. You're trying to make sure you manage the roster at the best of your ability. This can be a scary proposition to really make sure you're trusting an 18-year-old kid that he's going to stick to his word. It's got to be a case-by-case basis. And I know that Jaden Hazelwood, you know, obviously doesn't mean any harm by it to Georgia fans saying, hey, this thing's not over with yet. But Kirby Smart, I guarantee you, had his head on a swivel. He's asking questions saying, hey, what does this mean? What do I need to be worried about that we need to start moving on from you? It's going to be something they're going to have to judge for the next couple of months on into December and February.
Mike, it's great talking to you. A really good insight. Look forward to seeing you at 3 p.m. this afternoon for SEC Country Live. I know you got a fun edition of Roll Tide Daily coming up this afternoon before that. And, of course, we'll hope to talk to you again on Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza very soon, too.
All right, buddy. See you this afternoon.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Good stuff there from Mike Johnson, SEC Country Live, my partner there. I think his insight as a former player on some issues like this are incredibly fascinating, especially when it comes to those big offensive linemen. You know, don't you love that description of Mike, who, by the way, is not only just like – he's more than just a captain in Alabama. He's more than just a starter on a national championship team. This is a guy that goes on to play 4 or 5 seasons, whatever it was, in the NFL. And you heard him say – when Nick Saban got his sort of recruiting legs underneath him, he looked over and could not believe that he was seeing linemen who were 80 pounds heavier than him. I think that's a very real description of where do these people even come from? How do you find a human being that's that big? You know, y'all can go watch the video from back in, you know, January before the national championship game. I'm interviewing Andrew Thomas. I mean, I'm a pretty big guy myself, big enough that I feel the need to wear a Hawaiian shirt, as many of you have given me a hard time about. I got the microphone holding up there, getting ready to talk to Andrew Thomas. I mean, he looks like Andre the Giant, just sort of like hovering over me. His shadow completely enveloped me. So, I mean, those are the kind of offensive linemen that Kirby's recruiting, and you know what? The proof's in the pudding. Now, you can say, well, Isaiah Wynn was a more undersized version of a left tackle, and his desire, his fight, and his will propelled him to the top. And if you could get 5 Isaiah Wynns, obviously you'd take that no matter how big they are. But all things being equal, the bigger athlete's going to be the better choice, and we're seeing some of that for the Kirby Smart offensive line here. All right, time now for our SEC through. Let me hit a few of the things that are happening around the SEC here. And a big topic of conversation the last couple of days has been Les Miles. His comments from a Houston radio interview where it seemed like he was taking a shot at Orgeron. That's the interpretation that virtually everybody has had. He goes on another radio interview here this week, apparently. He's asked about being LSU athletic director. The backstory here is that Joe Oliva, the current LSU AD, is, I would assume, would probably rank among the least popular athletic directors in all of college football. People outside the LSU bubble don't like him for various reasons. I think LSU fans themselves have a bit of an issue. I think part of that's just the natural controversy that comes with replacing a coach. He, you know, was going to fire Miles, backtracked on that, then did fire him the following year. And, you know, that sort of lack of decisiveness, I think, is not great for an administrator. And I think that he lost some credibility because of that. So Oliva's already an unpopular AD. Miles, who is still a popular figure within Louisiana circles at LSU, on this radio interview, and we'll give you the audio later on this afternoon on SEC Country Live, on this interview, he basically made it seem like, you know what, he wouldn't mind being the LSU AD. Even going so far as to sort of pitch why he would be a good fit for the job. Boy, this is a bad look. I mean, this to me is Philip Fulmer at Tennessee to the 10th degree here because at least Fulmer's actually employed. Miles has no job right now, but seems to be trying to elbow his way back in. And, you know, there's a way of looking at this where he's using the leverage of his popularity with a pocket of LSU fans as fodder against Ed Orgeron and maybe also against Joe Oliva here. Now, ultimately, the soap opera of who's employed and who's not and who wants whose job, there is a degree to which that can seem not all that important. There's also a way that a fan base in turmoil before the start of the season has a way of impacting the way that Death Valley feels on fall Saturdays, including the one early October when UGA goes in there. At that point in time, what Miles does here is not some sort of neutral act. You know, poisoning the well here for LSU could potentially be sort of the, you know, the last line on his resume of his time there in Louisiana, and it may not be a pretty story by the time it's all told. However, LSU is hoping for some good news today. Derek Stingley is a five-star cornerback at 1:30 Central time, I believe the time is. Stingley's going to make his college announcement here. LSU is thought to be the point spread favorite to win his services. I think Texas may be number two there on that list here. Stingley's talked to SEC Country a couple times here recently, and this is an LSU program that could really use a big-time prospect, could really use a big-time addition. Missed on some high-profile defensive cornerbacks, defensive secondary guys for the 2018 class. Getting Stingley here would be a big get for the Tigers. We'll see if that indeed does go down. And then finally, there was an interesting article at ESPN. Tom Van Haren was the writer. We're going to probably talk more about this later on in the week from a Georgia perspective, but it was a list of like former elite recruits who maybe in their final years can see finally a chance to live up to the hype. Some of this is fair, some of it's not. It's all completely interesting. A couple of the SEC names that get mentioned here. Van Haren mentions two guys from Florida, Martez Ivey and Antonius Clayton. Now, Clayton probably more worthy of consideration on this list than Martez Ivey is. Clayton is a former elite pass rushing recruit who really has not played a lot yet since coming to Florida. He did have a big spring game to the extent that matters, produced some sacks, and maybe there's some thought that he finally gets a chance to be on the field and make some strong contributions. In the case of Martez Ivey, though, while he is not living up to the hype of being a former Uber recruit, I believe it was from the class of 2015, if I'm remembering correct, maybe it was 2014, when it comes to, you know, big-time recruits for the University of Florida, he has at least been a starter. He was a guard starter. He moved over to an offensive tackle, left tackle, last season for the Gators. So he's at least been a solid starter, if not a truly great player. But Clayton and Ivey showing up on lists like this are they really present an opportunity for new coach Dan Mullen to not only, you know, get his recruiting legs underneath him, but also develop some of the players that were inherited by him on this Florida roster here. I think for Florida fans, seeing Mullen do something with guys like Ivey and Clayton more than had been done in the previous coaching administration, I think that'd go a long way for Dan Mullen. The other name of interest that kind of shows up on this list, at least outside of Georgia, is Keller Crist, the transfer to Tennessee quarterback. And I think that, you know, Chris is going to be one of those fascinating stories in the SEC. If he can be even a fragment of what he was coming out of high school when he signed with Stanford, then it gives Tennessee a puncher's chance to win some of these toss-up games, you know, Florida and some of those others a little farther down the trough here. Not Alabama, not Georgia. I don't think Tennessee's ready to do that yet. They play Auburn this season. I don't think the Vols are ready to beat them. But you can be, can you be competitive against South Carolina? Can you be competitive against Florida? Keller Crist, living up to some of the hype he had coming out of high school, might go a long way to answering that question. And for now, we'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, you know, every day at this time, it's been kind of fun here this offseason during the summer to do our Dog Day Q&A. It's a chance to be even more interactive than we normally are. We give you a chance to weigh in on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. If you're watching live on video, you can simply go ahead and start dropping your comments in the comment section. As I said earlier today, I like to sort of follow along with these as much as I can during the show and get a chance to talk to you right now. And for our Dog Day Q&A today, I simply want to go back to what we started the show with. When you compare the Georgia quarterback situation to Alabama's, which do you think is superior? Whose quarterback situation is better right now? Georgia with a great starter, likely a very good backup, at least a very compelling backup, and for right now, no third-string quarterback to speak of, which somebody in the comment section did bring up as being pretty instrumental in this discussion. Or Alabama, where Tua Tagovailoa is the inexperienced and yet, curious, starting quarterback. Jalen Hurts is the former starter who's maybe somewhat fallen on hard times here as of late. And then Mac Jones is kind of an unknown commodity as the third string. Which of these quarterback situations is superior in your mind? We'll take some of these comments on that right now. All right. Bobby Bryant says, better late than never, just checking into the show from Hudson, Florida. Bobby, we appreciate you being with us here today. And, you know, I realize that some of you can't watch the whole show. You can only sort of pop in here and there, in and out. And we just appreciate you being here when you can. Matt Rukavina, by the way, going back to the SEC through a moment ago, says he thinks that LSU is going to be tough, but we're going to win that game on the road. They're inept on offense, and our defense is going to be great again. So that's Matt Rukavina looking ahead to the big showdown against LSU. And obviously Steve Ensminger, ironically the former Georgia offensive coordinator from back in the 90s, that's one of the reasons why he was brought into Baton Rouge, to sort of correct the fact that inept is not too strong of a word. The Tigers have had a real problem offensively going back to the time of Les Miles being head coach. And we'll see how much that improves this season by the time Georgia gets to Baton Rouge in October. I think the presence of Ohio State transfer quarterback Joe Burrow does help out LSU a bit. Travis Nunley says that when it goes back to the quarterback situation, that Fromm is the undisputed starter. Alabama doesn't have one of those. And I think that's kind of an interesting way to look at that. Tua is the likely starter. I think all of us would assume that he's going to win that job. But in terms of truly established credentials, for Tua, it's essentially one throw. Now, a painful throw from the perspective of a Georgia fan, but still just one throw. Whereas for Jake Fromm, you can look at a number of games. You know, the Oklahoma game included, where you know, Fromm really proved himself here. So the number one proven commodity, I think, does rest with the Georgia Bulldogs here. Steven Skites back on Facebook says, I like UGA situation because there is no ill will there like Alabama. Boy, I think that's also potentially true as well. I don't know that the Alabama situation is necessarily toxic, but it's not perfect. When you've got both factions here, the father of Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa himself, going public here, when Lane Kiffin, the former Alabama offensive coordinator, also goes public with things that Tua had told him, I mean, there is a bit of ill will seemingly brewing there in Alabama in a way that you really can't say that about Georgia. I think that's true. On YouTube, Diedrich Frazier says, Jake Fromm is elite. Fields can be elite. Tua might be elite. Hurts is not and won't be elite. That seems like a pretty strong argument from Diedrich about why the Georgia situation might be better, and a pretty good way to wrap up, at least for now, this conversation. All right, and as we get ready to do that, I will remind you that here live on video, more comments coming. You can always weigh in on the Dog Nation Facebook and Dog Nation YouTube pages. We do the show live every day, or if you want to make sure I know what you think about any of the subject matter we cover here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. As I said, you can also hit me up on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. And of course, one of the things that we love doing every single day, our buddy Eddie likes it when we do it here. He's our unofficial mascot on the set with us each and every day. It's our Gator Hater Countdown. And 129 days from right now, Georgia goes back to Jacksonville, world's largest outdoor cocktail party. We think the Dogs beat the Gators again, and we think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's our Gator Hater Countdown every single day here on Dog Nation Daily. All right, tomorrow is going to be a really fun show. And I'll probably hit up on Twitter later on to sort of describe exactly what that's going to take place. But a little different tomorrow. I think you're going to like it. Hope you'll join us 10 a.m. live. We'll see you then.